Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey, kids, do you like professional wrestling? Well, we like professional wrestling, too. This is Shake Them Ropes for the last week of November 2022. I am Jeff Hawkins, along with Chris Novembrino. I am rested and ready to go after a trip to Vegas and a trip back to Scottsdale, Arizona. Chris, you'll be happy to know I won some money in Vegas.
Doesn't help me in the slightest, Hawkins.
I know it doesn't help you, but you know, you might be happy for me for once. That might be something you like.
We can try again another day.
They have this ridiculous machine. It's a solo bubble craps machine where it's like a small tube with two dice and a computer console. Grinded my way to a few $100 first day. Put a bet on a football game that came through. Almost got $2,000 worth of profit in my Vegas trip. I was very happy about that, plus Virginia one. But yes, hope everybody had fun and at least had a relaxing Thanksgiving. We have a lot of wrestling to discuss because while I was in Vegas, the reason we recorded last week early, Full Gear 2022 happened. Big AEW pay-per-view full of monumental type things. And also, we are recording this about 30 minutes or so after Survivor Series War Games ended. Both pretty good pieces of business, so excited to talk about this. Quick plug, we are sponsored this week by HelloFresh. Chris will wax poetic about them in a moment.
Yeah, I cannot wait to tell you all more about HelloFresh. In just a spell, relax, it's coming. We got a little bit of show to get to, and then we're going to talk about HelloFresh.
Light news segment this week. Randy Orton, it was revealed he had back fusion surgery, and his timetable to come back is unknown at this time. but obviously a more serious surgery than once predicted. I would assume that this is also quote unquote career threatening. But yeah, it looks like Randy Orton will be out for possibly longer than we thought. I mean, I can see him coming back at Rumble and then this being a thing like, oh, he had back fusion surgery 6 months ago, and that's why he's been out for so long. But I was under the assumption that he was resting it before he needed the surgery, and then they had the surgery. But this puts a little bit of a wrinkle in some plans, I would think, Chris.
Yeah, potentially. But I mean, I remember being on the microphone just a couple of weeks ago and having some takes on Kevin Owens that proved to not bear fruit. So who knows?
Yeah, and the only other piece of news, a couple of name changes for current talent in there, although it looks like they've already reneged on one of those. Mia Yim was they were trying to get over that Meechan name, and then I guess somebody told them, hey, that means crazy in Korean. Might not be the best idea. Might be a little misogynist to label a woman crazy. So that now they're just going to, I think they're just going to make a nickname. It's now going to be Meechan Mia Yim. And then Sarah Logan has decided to call herself Valhalla.
Yes. Which makes the whole Valhalla is coming opening thing strange.
See, my joke was, is that because she kills the audience every time she comes out? But yeah, we're going deep and heavy into the Norse mythology. Make your own jokes as you will. That's all I have for the
news. Are we going deep and heavy into it, or are we doing the most shallow takes of Norse mythology we possibly can, Jeffrey?
That's pretty much a good point. I will renege the point because Chris has made a better point. See how that works?
I tip my cap to you, sir, and I'm happy for you.
How about we call somebody Thor?
I believe one of their finishers is called the Ragnarok. I think so.
Oh my God. So basically there's only five pieces of Nordic mythology we know. It's Odin, Loki, Thor, Ragnarok. Valhalla, and Ragnarok. That's it. That's the list.
Maybe Freya's might be in the mix there.
That might be going a little bit too deep into the catalog of hundreds of year old Nordic mythology. Oh, do we want to do the read now, or do we want to do something first and then do a read?
No, we can do it. We can do it.
I think it's a little bit too early to do that.
Okay, we are. Make them wait a little bit more.
Lazy River. Let's start with the ice cold takes, freezing, if you will. A full gear 2022. I thought mostly a good show. But Chris, I liked your tweet on it a lot, a whole lot, because it got me thinking about quite a lot of things. And I'm gonna cede the floor to you to say your own point, and then I'm gonna go into it a little bit more.
Absolutely. Watching this show, I mean, now it's been a minute, so I have to kind of like think back. But my general vibe watching this show is that it was a very watchable and enjoyable pay per view. I mean, there were a few low lights or whatever in terms of in-ring action, but by and large, totally fine, totally passable pay-per-view from AEW. Good pay-per-view. The issue for me came at the end of most of these matches, where these finishes were massively overbooked. They were Rube Goldberg devices to get to something, and the Rube Goldberg devices didn't offer increased dividends. Without jumping across the entire card here, I guess the one that really stands out to me is the Jamie Hayter belting thing, which is exacerbated on Dynamite this week. So I'm going to use that before we talk about the rest of the card, and then we can just break into it. So the Tony Storm Jamie Hayter match, solid match between Storm and Hayter, like, you know, good stuff. But then Britt Baker comes down, and the match, you know, now becomes focused on will she or won't she with Britt Baker. You know, is Britt Baker going to help Jamie Hayter as a heel win the title to the delight of this crowd? And I, one thing I will definitely say about this show that was a negative is this crowd. This crowd is not helping by cheering all of the heels.
Frustrated by that in this match. But I made it a condemnation of the company.
Yeah,
because the crowd is cheering Britt pulling the turnbuckle and the heels cheating to win the title because, oh, wouldn't it be so cool to have somebody new on top and everybody needs a trophy? And it was just, I don't mind a few people cheering for heels. I don't. But when the entire crowd are cheering against your baby faces.
Yeah, this is cowardly. And let me explain why. It was cowardly because you booked yourself into a corner with Storm and Hayter. And the move here, if you want to belt Hayter here, and I think that was the right move. Like the right outcome to this match is Hayter should have won. They needed to commit to a double turn. And if you want to have Britt Baker involved in that, where Britt Baker makes the save, let's say Toni Storm takes a page out of our boy Pac's playbook and she wants the hammer now. Now it's hammer time for Toni Storm. You can have Britt Baker come out and take the hammer out of Toni Storm's hand, where she gives a hand, so to speak, to Jamie Hayter so that Jamie Hayter can win on her own merits. The move here should have been a double turn, but they didn't want to do that. They like split the difference on it. They came up with this Rube Goldberg device, and now it's Britt Baker being the queen maker. It literally saying it's Jamie's time before she affects the outcome such that it becomes Jamie's time. I didn't think that this was a good value added moment for Jamie Hayter. And I thought it was even more womp womp when they announced on Wednesday that retroactively, because of what happened with Thunder Rosa, in fact, Toni Storm the whole time was in fact really a real champion, not an interim champion. Ooby
yeah,
dooby.
I guess Ooby they're done. Yeah, I guess they're done with Thunder Rosa. Yeah, my major problem with Full Gear where we had four matches involving, you know, temptations of baby faces, supposedly, and whether or not they will cheat or not. And the problem is three of them took away from the one on the main event, which was the main one that everybody was interested in. You had the Death Triangle and the Hammer. You had Keith Lee and Swerve. You had, Britt and Jamie, and then you had the MJF Regal stuff, and they're all pretty much the same story. And sure, a few of them ended differently than we thought they would, but they're still the same theme. And it really is a indictment of the booking that you had that many stories with the same theme on the same card. I that was my feeling coming out of the pay-per-view, is that I could not get over is how diminished the MJF one was, because we've already seen three stories that had the same theme.
Right. And I mean, you know, to go to another one of those, the Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland one. I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. I think they had written themselves into a corner where Keith Lee just needed to also commit here. It was cowardly to, like, no, Lee's going to stay a babyface. They broke Billy Gunn's hands. They broke his hands so that he couldn't do a gesture. The line had been crossed. We had crossed the Rubicon. What was the final straw for Lee? Like, what, was Swerve going to use a chair? That was going to be too much?
Yeah, not breaking a guy's fingers. No.
And that was something that Lee literally had weeks to think about. Like, that occurred. Lee had time to think about it. He apparently is fine with it, because like, it wasn't as though like he ever looked wistful in any way, shape, or form at Billy Gunn.
No. I think you're exactly correct on this. I'm gonna get my other kvetching out of the way so that I can praise the MJF story, because I really did like it. The Elite are back. The Elite are, let's face it, they're the click of 1993, but everybody likes them this time. Kenny Omega did an interview with Sports Illustrated where he just, hey, you know, Punk's just doing business, we're just doing business, let's just move on. And then they start doing botched buckshot lariats and biting spots to troll. And okay, this show is a little more Punk sympathetic than most. I won't say we're totally siding on him, but the biting spot I'm fine with. The making fun of him for the buckshot lariat stuff, Part of me thinks.
No, here's my only thought with all of that as I'm watching that. Does it bother me? No, I'm not that big of a CM Punk fan. I always kind of thought he was like a middling match, and you can go and hit up Cody on this. I like Punk as like a character. I think he's a strong act, but the match was never always the selling point for me. His whole point was that there are people who are in that organization who behave like effing children. And boy, did those people make the case much stronger for him. I don't know. Yes, you were amused by the antics, weren't you? You found them funny, perhaps, in a childish way, maybe? That what they were doing, these grown men were doing a mocking thing, and it was a funny thing. Ha-ha. Ho-hee-hee-hee. Okay, like, cool, but that was, like, Punk's whole point. And yeah. if you like that, that's cool. Then you're on their side, and that's fine, too. But, like, his whole point...
You know what? I was fine with using the GTS as a heat spot in Chicago. I was.
I don't really care... none of the moves were like, this is an offense against the institution of wrestling for me. that was never a thought that went through my head at any point. Or like, how disrespectful to dear CM Punk. No, I don't. It's not that. It's just all I could think about was, well, his whole point was, I work with effing children. I know because I edited together a segment on this. And like, aren't these guys basically making the point for them? Especially as they go out and go like, oh, we're just, you know, bury the hatchet. We're just moving on. Yeah, as you said, we're just doing business. Like, no, they're not. No, they're not.
No, they're not. And I'm just like, oh, God, really? We're going to have these forever. I'll tell you something, though, Chris. All of those and then also the MJF doing the Snow Angels spot afterwards as a tribute. I think one of two things. Either, you know what? Door's not completely shut on Punk just yet. We're going to let him heal a bit, or we have even more children because one's going to continue to do tribute spots to Punk and the others are going to do FU spots to Punk. We're just going to keep talking about Punk every week because somebody somewhere is going to be talking about Punk on the show.
It's actually kind of a funny commentary on Punk too, that two of the biggest acts in the company are still basically commenting on this person with their performances.
Yes.
We didn't really need him. He wasn't really important to us. Also, like, check out all these songs that I'm writing about him.
It would be hilarious to me if MJF walked because of the Elite and what they did to Punk. But I don't think, I mean, that's a year or so down the road. But yeah. That match was everything you thought it would be. They're doing best of seven. I don't mind that even though, look, this isn't my style between the two of them. Indie-rific, you know, lots of spots, lots of high spots. Keep running at a fast full speed and don't really have a cohesive thing going. But if it gets ticket sales down a little bit too over time,
and for me that's made a more enjoyable experience. I saw people going like, look at this hyper choreographed stuff, and it was a sequence between I believe Nick and Phoenix, and I was watching it and going, that's just that style being worked well.
Yeah, I don't mind good choreography.
I had no problem with it. Yeah.
I don't mind it all the time. And look, if it's gonna help them get their ticket sales up, good for them. I'm happy about that. And now we have the House of Black back as well, it looks like. So,
but like, I guess the other problem that is a recurring issue for me with like this show's presentation or whatever are these like heels who are obviously heels who are allowed to be cheered as baby faces.
Yes, they like, have that problem.
The Elite come out and we have Michael Nakazawa, Brandon Cutler, and I always want to call him Cyrus, Don Callis. And like these are like the accessories of a heel team still. I think there just needs to be more narrative discipline. Like the issue of four of the same theme being for the, you know, being match styles or match formats or whatever. Like there are a number of narrative problems with this show. The work was not the issue here.
No, not at all. And let me heap some praise on Full Gear, because while Jon Moxley's go home promo stunk. The match with MJF, I thought was pretty damn good, and I thought the turn of Regal was pretty great. I'm not sure they nailed the dismount on Dynamite. I liked the Bryan Danielson promo. You know, it wasn't a full on, hey, we're all going to go kill Regal now. There's some depth to it, which I like and can be explored. But the actual, hey, MJF.
It just sort of felt like they didn't know what they were doing with those three characters when they wrote the scene.
Yeah. But the MJF getting the knuckles slid to him, knocking him out, that end of the story. Great piece of business, I thought. And also just, you know, the match itself was very, very good as well, with MJF starting out kind of as a flaky baby face and Moxley playing full heel to that crowd. I mean, it was a very strong title match. It's interesting to me, unfortunately, that MJF had to go film part of this Von Erichs movie on the first Dynamite afterwards, but it was also Thanksgiving Eve, and I assume that I assume the ratings are going to be fairly low, because, you know, that those shows are very seldom watched, you know, and I pretty much only watched it in passing because I was on vacation. So,
but yeah. You know, I'm going to be that guy and once again indict the crowd here a little bit, because this match would have been so much more fun if MJF was trying to still convince this crowd that he was actually a good guy for the entirety of that match, finally wins them over, like it essentially gets the crowd to turn on Moxley, like, because the crowd was already there.
Do you think that was the point? They just missed it.
I don't know that that was the point. I think it would have just been a more fun story, or like it. I mean, like that was maybe that was the point, and they missed it. It was stunning. I was actually a little bit surprised in how completely they turned on Moxley so quickly.
Yeah,
and like it did hurt sort of the Regal thing, because like once Regal comes down, you've been booing Moxley the whole match. You're happy when someone betrays him. Like, yeah. So maybe you have a point. Maybe you're right here. The crowd did a disservice to the story that the company was trying to tell.
Yeah, maybe it was just they didn't play the crowd correctly once they found out how they were going to act. And, you know, maybe MJF wasn't strong enough in trying to convince people he was a babyface at times. I don't know. That'd be interesting. I mean, because the whole thing he did at the scrum would indicate, haha, I fooled you all. And you're like, oh, not really. We all kind of knew you were a heel. We're just kind of waiting for it.
Yeah, maybe another way of reading this is that the crowd was just way ahead of this story. That, like, yeah. Basically everyone was like, oh, Regal's going to betray Moxley. And then people were eager for it because they want to see MJF be champion. And they don't view Moxley's title reign as some like essential thing, and he's like not this, he's respected but not beloved. And I don't know, I feel like all of that ended up hurting it hurt this match a little bit. And I don't know who to lay the blame on for that, to be completely honest, but it does seem to me to be a chair missing from the table.
More praise for me, I did enjoy Jack Perry versus Luchasaurus. And I was kind of right. It's like, yeah, he's going to do something off that cage. Has to do a big move. But looked like everybody came through that fairly alive. I enjoyed the four-way for the ROH World Championship. And I really did enjoy Sting and Darby versus Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. That was everything I wanted it to be. It was just a pure, simple story. With some stunts and crazy Sting and crazy Jeff Jarrett doing their thing on that. The only other match I really didn't like. I didn't like the ending of the Samoa Joe Wardlow Hobbs three way, because I'm just so effing sick of, well, it's no DQ, ergo we have to let all this crap happen. And it's just, I wish we would rewrite these rules so that somebody could be DQ'd in a three way. Because I'm just kind of sick of the whole.
I guess, or another way of doing this is that there is a penalty for interference.
Yeah,
like outside interference should be. It's like you can't you as a participant can't get disqualified because of outside interference, but the person who does outside interference faces a real in-story penalty that is prohibitive.
Yeah,
so a heel person, like your heel tag team partner comes in and makes the save. Well, the next night on Dynamite, he is going, you know, like there will be a penalty match or something occurs that at least explains away why wouldn't you just go and grab a steel chair and start bonking everyone over the head just like you do in the video game.
Chris, what are we going to do with Jade Cargill?
I don't know, because it's really hard to find someone to have a good match with her.
What's the common denominator there? That's the thing.
I know, because Nyla was definitely trying coming into this. I thought she did fantastic character work leading into all of this. I don't view her as the problem. I think, like, Jade's a fine act, but she hasn't progressed. Or she's a fine act in the sense that, like, she has a look, she's got some catchphrases, she's got some charisma. But she has not progressed in ring.
She and Anna Jade, neither of whom have progressed in ring.
No, but they gave her an aspirational title reign. And for those of you who are critical of me when I said that a few months ago, please come back around now. Let's have another discussion about how much growth has occurred during this, or if this is a worthy title reign. It hasn't been. You know it. I don't know what you do with her. I swapping out the baddies or whatever obviously isn't the answer to this question.
Yes, that's right. Velvet, Red Velvet has returned, and Kira Hogan is gone. So we have Red Velvet and Layla Gray as Jade's baddies now. And who knows if this is going to be a process of elimination where we're going to also eliminate
Layla.
This is
yet another like heel character. Sorry to step on you like that.
No, you're fine.
This is yet another heel character who is allowed to be cheered despite having all the accoutrements of an obvious heel.
We bring our kid to every big match she has, and then we want people to boo her. No, that's not how you do it.
I make your heels hateable. Make us hate your heels. This company has MJF was the one guy who people actually hated, and then they got him to the point where they don't even hate him. So like, there's like really nobody who you can hate, and like, whenever anyone starts doing good heel work, this crowd's so quick to be like, oh, they're doing a very good job, that like it really pulls the fun out of it. I need to be able to hate somebody.
You probably watched more Dynamite than I did. I didn't get a lot in. Any thoughts on that or anything else from Full Gear?
Okay, I know we have been very down on Jericho. I will say this about the main event. Working boots were on. Look, the Jericho and Ishii match was solid. It was really solid. I he's never gonna, like, Jericho's just never gonna do it for me. But like, just watching that, no, that was good. Other than that, we have more Death Triangle stuff. Ethan Page, I'm like a little bit, Ethan Page, I'm a little bit confused by, because I really like. I kind of think he should have won this. I think the intrigue, honestly, is Page going up against MJF instead of like the hyper injured Ricky Starks going up against MJF, in part because it does not seem like this crowd is ready to boo MJF yet. Like, Ricky Starks would actually be a just fine guy to ultimately go up against MJF. And maybe you could get the crowd behind Starks in a meaningful way where he's the obvious baby face and MJF's the real heel. But doing it right now, even with like a taped up DDP ribs, nah, that ain't going
to
do it.
Yeah, why wouldn't you just go, hey, wait until I get to full strength until I can have a title shot. No, I'm going to go out there. That's just stupid baby face syndrome. It's I'm
gonna go out there and hurt. Crowd to not believe in you. Like it's the obvious, like, don't buy into me. But like, it's first challenger syndrome plus first challenger syndrome with obvious injury.
Yeah. It's like, oh, they're gonna cheer me for going out there hurt and trying my best but still losing. And they're gonna get that has to be earned in match. Like, that can't be earned before the match. If you're going into the match hurt, you're a dope. It's interesting because they're trying to rebuild Hobbs a little bit, because I liked the vignette. I thought that was very good. And they're trying to rebuild Starks at the same time. When the point was, you probably shouldn't have torn them down in the first place. It's very weird. And you would think with the firm story that, yeah, okay, now we got to do a payoff of that with Ethan Page winning this tournament to face MJF.
Yeah. And I just, like, I don't know. I think that is closer to where the crowd's at anyways. Got to do a little bit of a payoff to that storyline. I also just think you need to protect Ethan Page. It seemed like they were trying to build him up. Making him an also-ran in this tournament doesn't really do anything. If anything, I thought MJF really, especially like looking at the crowd reception against him against Moxley, like MJF probably needed to be turned babyface as well. And then have guys like the firm going after him.
I guess WWE is doing media scrums now. Cause I'm looking at clips of Sami Zayn and Paul Heyman doing a press conference. I guess Becky Lynch did oh my goodness. They're actually going to copy the other group. Okay.
I think it's interesting to see how WWE, this is like a sidebar, because it's not really related to any show, how WWE has been quietly tweaking the product. So like Michael Cole this week on commentary to me really stood out with how much we've talked about the history lessons before, but like he's really going into it now. Like that is a clear green light. Tell people what these, you know, what these companies are all about during War Games tonight. He was talking about, without necessarily saying New Japan, talking about the history of the Bullet Club in as kind of an on-the-nose way as you've ever heard on WWE television.
Right.
I even think like the advertisements in that stuff have been different. And then, yeah, like they're getting – this is not actually the first time that they've ever done scrums. I know this because I used to
catch
back in the day. Right, yeah. So I know that they have done this. And it would have been right at the launch of the network. So this might have been actually a holdover, like an old
Levesque. No, I remember one that, yeah, too. I remember a couple they did, like they had the Shield on one and they didn't say anything the whole time. And then they had the Wyatts come in. I remember scrums a few years ago and then they scrapped them. Because people, because they were getting over, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
no, I mean, like, you know, to this point, I don't know if they're going to do it, but like, it wouldn't shock me if they brought back like, you know, Talking Raw again and like brought it back as like the show it was when it was good and actually like a thing to watch.
Yeah. Now it's just a piece of business on the network, I guess. But yeah. Any other AEW thoughts before we close the bag on that?
I don't think so. I mean, we sort of nailed it, or we already talked about it with Regal. I just want more, like this betrayal was the sort of whole, like, will he or won't he story there. And I just didn't feel like we got enough payoff from Regal here. Like this, we really should have gotten the, you know, the Kaiser Soze moment here on Wednesday.
Well, it felt like, okay, well, we know this is the day before Thanksgiving and ratings are going to be low. So we need to find a way to push it off for a week. And you're like, okay, then why do it then?
Right. Like, I mean, honestly, have the whole storyline be just Moxley and Danielson at the arena. They think Regal's going to be there and he's not there.
And he's not. Yes. Just don't even have him on the TV the entire time.
Yeah.
No, he didn't show up because MJF's not here. And then it becomes, well, what becomes of us? And they're all kind of having a weird esoteric moment where are we still the Blackpool Combat Club, even though our leader's no longer here? Yuta in it.
Yes, yeah. Yuta, that's what I was about to get to. Yuta's obviously the interesting point of tension here, not remotely addressed. I mean, did we need Orange Cassidy versus Jake Hager? Could we have maybe like addressed some of these other narrative
points? I will defend that. I will defend this, even though the other problem was it came at such a poor moment, because it came at the moment where it's just like, okay, now we're going to this comedy match as opposed to having some emotional resonance. But Hager has gotten this stupid hat over. And I enjoyed the match. I actually like Jake Hager for what he is as opposed to what he should be, which is just an absolute killer in and out of the ring all the time. Now he's just kind of a big, dumb galoot. and I kind of like it. It's probably the best use for Jake Hager after doing, like, I mean, they tried doing the MMA matches, and it was fun to watch him do all that stuff, but he's never going to get over as a beast in AEW. So let's just make him kind of big, dumb comic relief.
I know, and it's, like, it's unfortunate because they now have a champion, like, the young, undersized champion who would actually be perfect for a guy like, you know,
yeah,
like the Hagers and the Wardlows of the world to go after him.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, no, it's, I think he's miscast, but, you know, I'll accept your in defense of, I don't know, man. I think with certainly with key stories or whatever, it's more important to me in the Fallout episode after a pay-per-view to, you know, set the table again.
I agree there. And this was a lot of table saying, hey, it was nice to get FTR on a friggin' show this week. Gee, good on y'all. They only hold 3 tag belts.
I know. They talk.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Talked a little bit of business about having a match on Rampage.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll end AEW there. Chris, tell the people about HelloFresh.
All right. You've been waiting for it, and I've been waiting for it. I've been waiting.
I haven't been waiting for it, but please go ahead.
Yeah, no, you act. Stop that. When you're like that, I can't flow. This is effective November 21st, 2022. What is HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. The holidays are just around the corner. Look to your left, to your right, behind you. Here they come. Once again, the holidays. And HelloFresh makes this busy time of year easier than ever with chef-crafted recipes and pre-portioned ingredients delivered right to your door so that you can spend less time meal planning and prepping. As your calendar starts to fill up this season, and it will, you have lots of friends, you have family. You can count on HelloFresh to get you some of your free time back by making cooking simple and quick. Each recipe and pre-portioned ingredient comes right to your door so you can skip the grocery store and a lot of the prep. Jeffrey, are you there?
I'm here. I'm listening.
Hey, do you remember the time? Back when? It was like January, perhaps. We had food.
Yes.
I haven't eaten since. But when we had that food, it was from HelloFresh.
Yes, it was quite good.
Yeah, it was nutritious. I told myself it would never run out. It did. But I enjoyed it while it was here.
And now you're eating nothing but cat food.
Not even that. The cats need that. You know what? Let's not talk about what I'm on.
Okay.
If you're interested in HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/VOW70. Oh my. We have had people in the past. We have had other numbers. We have had lower numbers.
65, I believe we had.
65. There was
16.
Like, there was now 16. We've never hit 70 before.
Okay.
So what's the code? You
70.
Well, no, I'm gonna say it. Okay. This is my promo.
Gotcha.
This is my promo code.
I apologize.
This is no promo code. Don't take this from me. I have so much. Everyone's taking everything. Leave me this. Go to HelloFresh.com/VOW70 and use code VOW70 for 70% off plus free shipping. That's right. Shipping is free. And you get 70% off. HelloFresh.com/VOW70. Use code 70 for 70% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh. America's number one meal kit.
Tremendous.
All right. What now?
We could go to Survivor Series. I'll give you a little respite. If you have anything NXT you want to say right now, now's the time to say it. Because I just don't want to talk about it after Survivor Series.
Okay. Like, let me. I forgot to even grab NXT results.
Don't worry about it. There wasn't that much.
No, it was obviously a resonant moment in my life. let me.
I didn't watch it, Chris. It doesn't matter.
I actually did watch it.
Oh, did you?
I did.
I heard Kiana James was all over this show, which makes me very interested in her.
Yes.
I'm following her secretary on Instagram, and she's tremendous.
Here is the one thing I will say. It's Thea Hale, right? I don't remember if she was like Thea Trinidad.
Yeah, Thea Hale.
She's hilarious.
She's great.
She continues to be really, really funny. Like she had another like screaming moment this week. Like she's just very, very funny. And then unintentionally funny was this Reggie debut.
Scripts.
My God.
They put Reggie in a mask as a stalker.
In a horrible mask at that.
Yes.
It doesn't look cool in the slightest.
That doesn't exactly hide who he is. Hey, that's Reggie. I know that guy.
He
used to be a sommelier.
I guess he didn't. I don't know if he's cut the hair or whatever, but I assumed the kind of baggy mask was just he didn't want to actually cut the hair for this. but like, dude, I mean, you know. Especially after being Reggie the Sommelier, you know, you're going to need to do a reboot if you're going to kind of get this thing off the ground.
Why does he want to burn down NXT?
I don't know.
I mean, he was a sommelier. I mean, he was on the main roster quick. What do you have against
the BC? My other issue here is like, is Gurage really like, I mean, the other issue, and I think Booker T brought this up on commentary or something like that. Booker T had a great night, by the way, too, on NXT, where he had no idea who the guy was who attacked Bron Breakker. when Dijak attacked him, he's like, "Who's that?"
This is the one point I had for this. I actually like this Rob Halford looking Dijak. I think this is a great repackaging of him.
I agree. I mean, look, he's Dijak.
Looks like a million bucks.
He's not Dijakovic anymore. Yeah, he's Dijak.
I would bring him up now as like Theory's heater if you wanted to really do something with him, as opposed to keeping him at NXT and kind of weakening him. I mean, we all know the guy can work, but man, Dusters look cool on tall guys, and it looks great on him. So yeah, I love this.
Yeah, no, I thought this was good. Booker T continues to be a real problem on this show. I guess we're done with Sol Ruka. Zoe Stark just sort of like defeats Ruka, and this was not a strong show. I'm with you on this. Keanu James, as you did mention, more present on this show than you might expect.
Why? It only furthers she is a bad wrestler and not even an interesting character.
No, I mean, that's
Porto secretary is a hell of a gimmick. That's all I'm gonna say.
I don't understand.
She wears glasses. That's her gift.
This is a show where sometimes, especially episode to episode, you're like, did anyone think about like what this looks like as a total card? Because it like it just reads like crap when you go match to match on it. I think every week where Diamond Mind isn't kind of like featured in a segment is a weak on NXT right now.
Well, I'll agree with that. I'm good with that. And Pretty Deadly as well. I think, you know, you can have them on there, but if they're not featured, then it's a weak show. And those are the two biggest personalities on the show are the Creed brothers and Pretty Deadly to me.
And Carmelo and Wesley was fine, except that Booker T just chewed too much scenery during the entire season.
Oh, yeah. There are days where Booker T, you can just feel that somebody gave him a stage note of show more energy, and then it just becomes overwhelming with his energy where he's just like, and that's what I'm talking about, right? You know, that kind of crap. And you're just like, God, Booker, you know, calm down here. Watch the product occasionally.
Yeah, no.
So then let's move on to Survivor Series. Overall, a really good card, I thought. Well executed in terms of the stories they wanted to tell. I think they got through those as well. Just one tremendously weak spot, and we'll get to that in a moment. But because it's fresh in our minds, let's go through this one by one, starting off with the women's War Games match. You know, everybody's talking about how sloppy this was. I was fine with it. I thought it was a pretty damn good match. And especially, I know a lot of people, you know, after the match, they're talking about who looked great and who did this, who did that. I'm going to give a shout out to Dakota Kai in this match because she killed herself for some of these women to make them look like the killers that you wanted them to be on the babyface side. I thought she did quite well. I thought Nikki Cross did okay for herself after having a tremendously cringe character. And of course, Rhea Ripley is just being booked so well that it's hard not to come off well in that match. I liked how they took her out of the match with the mist too. I thought that was clever. I thought everything about this match was fairly clever, and I thought there wasn't really a weak link in this match, to be honest with you. I mean, anybody you thought, you know, would be, wasn't. Alexa Bliss didn't do anything that really, you know, detracted from the match either. I mean, she was pretty good in the spot she was in, took some bumps that you'd go, oh my God, for a woman of her size. Your thoughts on the women's War Games match?
I thought it settled in nicely. Look, these matches are always a little bit draggy to me before the match officially begins.
And the plunder drags it down, too. I got to be honest with you. I'm not a fan of plunder. I like that they brought back 5-on-5 for the War Games. I think that was smart. I want the War Games to feel like a War Games rather than it's a match in a cage for a while, you know? And the plunder kind of does that, but at the same time, it just feels like it's window dressing. Whereas, you know, I remember I was a little frustrated watching Dakota and who started off for them. It was Bianca. I was like, stop doing a wrestling match and just beat each other up. It's the War Games. But
I think they need fewer pieces of plunder. Two or three important Chekhov's guns that are going to be important spots in the progression of the actual match that are brought in by the fifth competitor. So like,
because we had like 4 kendo sticks, 3 trash can lids, a couple of tables, which I thought I liked the pinning Bianca against the cage with the table. I thought that was
I don't like the parts when it becomes
the ladders.
Like, when it becomes like Sharks versus Jets though, and everyone has kind of sticks or whatever. That's always cheesy to me.
I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that was my thought on that. I mean, honestly, the only real lowlight of the show, if you want to talk about that, for me was Ronda and Shane.
Yes.
Yeah, Ronda and Shotzi. I just this was not good.
This wasn't good. Ronda just decides, I mean, Shotzi's starting to get over, and she's starting to do these her crazy things. And she, you know, she's going to do some high spots and whatnot. And Ronda literally just decides, I'm not going to take this DDT from the apron to the floor. So she lets Shotzi look bad. And then she tumbles to the floor afterwards. Shayna's out here dying because Shotzi's just killing her with all these dives and stuff. But this match was bad from the beginning because In the lead up to it on the bump, Shotzi comes on there. She goes, she's dedicating this match to her dead father. And I'm like, you're going to have your babyface dedicate this match to a dead relative and then lose? Somebody needs to step in right now and go, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to have a babyface dedicate this to a dead relative and then come out and get clowned by Ronda Rousey, who still doesn't have gear that fits after 3 years, which is ridiculous. By used to be a combat sport veteran. Buy some gear that actually moves with your body, please, instead of always having to adjust it during the match. But yes, this was bad. It was bad because Ronda just wouldn't cooperate with Shotzi a little bit, and Shotzi's a high spot person. And that's, you know, she's into the plunder and everything like that. She probably should have been in the War Games instead. I gotta be honest with you. That's where it seems like someone like her would fit, but instead they decided to sacrifice her on the altar of Shayna and Ronda, who are coming off as terrible personalities in their promos as well. Nothing about this match worked, and nothing about the lead up to this match worked for me.
No, and Ronda's just a very boring act right now in the ring, and honestly, on the like, it's just a boring act.
Do they? I think they have to pull they have to call an audible here, because I think the plan is still Becky versus Ronda to headline one night of Mania. I just don't see Ronda as a headlining act. I gotta be honest with you.
She's not showing that she can do an interesting 10 to 15 minute match.
Yeah. Not with Liv, not with Shotzi. She's only as interesting as the people they put up against her. That's her downside.
No, she's not a champion who elevates the other people she's in the ring with.
Correct. No, that's they're talking about the dead father here, and she's playing with which ankle do you want me to break? I'm just like, she's just clowning him. Is this really how you want to honor a dead relative? Okay.
The only thing would have made it better if she was looking up to the sky and saying it to Dad directly.
You know what would have worked? If Ronda had used it and says, as kind of heat at the same time during the match. I think that what might have worked a little bit.
Yeah, but then that would have necessitated Ronda having to sell a serious babyface fire comeback from Shotzi that would have actually connected Shotzi with the crowd.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No, that would have been inconvenient for Ronda. She didn't want to do that. That didn't work for her, brother.
That doesn't work for me, brother. At this time, I thought AJ Styles and Finn Balor was solid.
I agree. No, that was not a match where "this doesn't work for me, brother" was a phrase being uttered by any competitors. I thought this is a fine match. I like Finn Balor's remixed theme to the Judgment Deified version of Finn Balor's theme. I think it's a nice touch.
Yeah, this is kind of like the match. I found out, I did not know this, Sean Ross Sapp, our friend here, AJ Styles hadn't won a pay-per-view match in 3 years. Wow. You want to know the last person he beat on a pay-per-view?
Roman Reigns?
Dimples.
Dimples. Dimples Carrillo.
Dimples Carrillo, yeah.
Wow.
In 2019.
I remember that feud.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't? Austin Theory, Seth Rollins, and Bobby Lashley. I thought the end sucked. Because it wasn't much of a spear. It looked almost like a roll-up. It was so anticlimactic. Okay, so you have Austin Theory blow his Money in the Bank briefcase only to get a triple threat match to then win the title. Okay.
Plan all along.
Yeah, I guess. The match itself was pretty good, I thought. Seth and Austin work really well together, and Seth and Bobby work really well together, I think. But, you two dance, and then you two dance, and then we'll do some three-person spots here and there. It was pretty good. The curb stomp Seth did, I thought, was preposterous, where he jumps off of Lashley's back to do it. I know it was supposed to be more spectacular than it was, but you know, it looked like he was walking on the back of crocodiles and then doing it a little bit, but it wasn't offensive to me. And I guess this is how they're going to get Theory over now, but you know, giving Seth that, you know, short reign, I don't know. It's so weird because this is the only title that matters on Raw in terms of singles titles, because Roman's going to still be carrying both belts. So it's interesting to play hot potato with this title. And I think Raw ratings will suffer because of it, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know that people are that invested in it, but no, I'm
not in this, but I mean, no. In that there's no singles title to really watch on the show.
Yeah, no, I totally do get what you're saying here, which is that Theory is going to be a boring champion.
Yes.
I don't, just because you've put a belt on the man doesn't make him interesting now.
Yeah. And it's weird because I like the edge they're giving to him, but he's still not that interesting of a promo.
No.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's not a bad match, but he's not that interesting of a match either.
Now let's talk about something that is interesting.
You know who he reminds me of? Yeah. Billy Gunn.
You know, I find him more interesting than Billy Gunn.
I'm with you on this, but like, it's like the same limitations, only like a more interesting package.
Just that he's good looking and he's tall.
And the athletic thing, like Billy Gunn is, you know, was good in terms of like move and move execution. I mean, you know, like that's.
I would more compare him to Dolph Ziggler.
Okay, that's another fine comp too. Sure.
Although I like Dolph a lot, and he's done some interesting things, and just never connected with him. That's my fear, is that they're gonna do a bunch of repackages of Austin Theory, and they're never gonna find one that works.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's talk about something interesting then. This Bloodline versus Brawling Brutes, Drew McIntyre and Kevin Owens War Games match, and the promo before the match. And you brought this up when we were talking before the show.
And SmackDown promo too. This is like a 3-beat scene.
Yeah, this was great. Go ahead and describe it.
Okay, so if you didn't see SmackDown, on SmackDown, there is a moment where Zayn is confronted by Owens, and Owens and Zayn talk. And Owens is basically like, these guys are going to stab you in the back. You need to stab them in the back before they stab you in the back, dude. That's what's ultimately going to happen to you. And Zayn's listening to Owens, and Jey Uso is behind the door, and like, we can see him, like we are able to see him, but Zayn can't see him.
Zayn can't see him, but I am convinced Kevin Owens saw him.
I was thinking that too.
And that he was actually setting up Zayn.
That was what I was thinking. You know, I had that thought too, that like, Owen, I mean, how could Owens not see that the door was ajar, right?
And see him through the little window pane in the door as well.
Yeah. So I had that thought too. And then and basically he was like kind of trying to okey-doke Zayn here. And you know, he got Zayn to trouble because Zayn lies to Jey Uso. And
which was good. Which was, everybody just went, oh.
I mean, this is, you know, it's a tale of two crowds, right? Because like the crowd, okay, like the crowd's a little too into like Sammy Uso being like super loyal to the Bloodline or whatever. But like the crowd's very, like the crowd's not going to let the story like, you know, fall off a cliff or anything like that. And yeah, I enjoyed the audible gasp from the audience when Zayn like lied to Jey Uso. And so then we get this follow-up here where like Jey is at, this is before the match here tonight, Jey wants Roman to talk to Sammy about what happened on Friday. And Sammy goes and meets with Roman. And what I was really like goo goo gaga over is just that like, instead of him acting like no, nothing happened, and doubling down on the lie, he completely comes clean.
Yes.
In this like still colored, angled sort of way, but like everything he says is factually true. It is.
Yes, he basically tells Roman, "I trust you enough to say, hey, yeah, I lied to Jey because Jey doesn't like me."
Yep.
I loved that. I watched that in wonderment because I'm just like, yeah, you probably do that in real life. If he had lied to Roman, I kind of went, okay. I mean, but it was such a weird, cool story beat, and I loved it.
I know, it was great. And then it created a really intriguing will he or won't he angle where you could plausibly see this playing out in both directions at this point. Because it was almost too neat, to the point where if Sammy had decided to stab Roman in the back, it would have been perfect. And it would have been really interesting, in part because the scene ends with Roman hugging Sammy and the eyes are open. Like, he's going to stab Sammy in the back here. Sammy has made the wrong choice. I enjoyed this a lot. And then we cut to the match here with the betrayal of Owens, and he sets up Jay and he gets the big hug and everything like this. And we still have, you know, Roman's eyes at the end of scene two, which means that, like, no, ultimately this ends badly for Sammy. At the end of the day, they're going to sell this guy down the river so hard. But he's now made his bed and he's now sealed his fate. I love this. This is a lot of fun.
No, I absolutely, it was being laid on a little bit thick, arguing mid-match. I was starting to go, okay, they're going to go too big on this. But I thought it hit the right amount of drama. Like when he doesn't pull Kevin off of Roman, when he just instead stops the referee from counting and the eyes met. And, you know, just everything in that whole, you know, I thought Roman was actually going to be out for the entire sequence and not see what Sammy did. And then wake up and go, you know, okay, Sammy blew it or whatever. Instead of being the hero, he wouldn't have seen any of that.
I think it was important because Sammy had to gradually sell his soul here, right?
Yes.
So he couldn't hit Owens yet, but he needed to stop the match because he's actually truly loyal to the bloodline because he's a dope. And so that's why he pulls the referee's arm. It was brilliantly blocked, in my opinion.
My favorite part.
It was a fun match.
My favorite part is the reconciliation of Sammy and Jay.
Yes.
After the super kick spot, and he's just telling Jimmy, you know, F that guy. We got a match to win or whatever. And Jimmy's like, no, man, he's our teammate. We got to get him up. And then just the whole, hey, I'm going to look at, when he looks at Roman, gets up, does the haluva kick on Kevin, and just points at him. Jay and Jay's just kind of looking and like, okay, yeah, I'm going to get the glory here. He's giving it to me. And there's a weird moment after the pinfall where the only one standing tall at that moment is Sami Zayn, and he's standing over everybody. And I kind of didn't want him to be the goof. I kind of wanted him to be empowered after that. Like, at this moment, I am a god.
Yeah, this entire situation is my manipulation. I am a master manipulator.
I was kind of hoping for that. I don't mind we didn't get that because the hug between him and Roman and then Jay just absolutely going nuts hugging the guy was such a cool little thing.
Oh, I also liked in the moment after part of Sammy's like stomach, like clearly like his internals are telling him, I've done the wrong thing here. I've done the effing wrong thing here. And that is all brushed away by Jay's elation. Like, Jay has finally forgiven him, and the crisis of conscience is swept away by what appears to be success.
Yeah, I would really like a character pivot on Sammy, though, right now. After this, like, okay, I don't need to be needy anymore. Now I'm confident, Sami Zayn. And that's when Roman starts to get the feeling, oh, crap, I've created a monster, and I need to stop this within my own family. I want to give a little bit more credit as well to the fifth member of the Bloodline. I thought Solo Sikoa coming off as badass assassin in this match was fantastic as well. He's just, screw it, I'm taking on the biggest guy in this match at all times. And that was him.
He slotted in really, really nicely into this storyline. Like, he doesn't ever feel lost as a character or anything like that. He very much feels like the fifth part.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked. I even liked the whole. It was a little. It was a little melodramatic, but I liked. I liked the whole. Jimmy's gonna go to the ring, and then Roman stops him and points at Sammy, and Sammy's just kind of like, "Huh, okay."
Oh no, that was another nice little beat in this story where it's trial by ordeal, where like Roman wants to see what Jay and Sammy will do.
Yeah.
Because part of this is that Roman does not fully trust Jay right now either.
Yeah, I was hoping that Sammy was going to be first in this match to have to prove his loyalty, and then Jay would be the one having to be sent. But I like the way this turned out. I thought this was great. And yeah, and on the babyface side, look, I don't... The only weak link here is really Ridge Holland, because everybody else here was just there to sell for the bloodline. And I thought everybody did a tremendous job. I thought the former Pete Dunne, now Butch, really acclimated himself well in that first 5 minutes as a killer again. And the small joint manipulation thing really helped him a lot here. God, I wish he'd go back to being Pete Dunne.
I know. Like, Meechin is like a 1 week thing, but we're stuck with Butch forever, it seems like. And we'll never see Slapjack again.
Because Butch is over. It is. The name and the character are over. And you know, Rich Holland didn't kill anybody. That's a low bar to set, but at the same time, he's the weak link in this. But yeah, I thought everybody killed themselves for our entertainment pleasure, and I thought the storyline beats. The funny thing with Jay and or not Jay, but Jimmy and Sammy trying to hold each other up when they're doing the lineup spot when the War Games begins. I thought that was great. Also, Yeah, everybody's exhausted except Roman, who just comes in and is like, yeah, man, let's start this fight now. Yeah, Roman has really... Look, the whole heel character was overbearing for the first year and a half. But this last half a year or so, he's really shown some range and really shown he can sink his teeth into a heel role.
Yeah, and like I like that this heel character also has a clear flaw, which is its ego. That Roman's overconfidence that he can like see everything and that like he leaves the table or whatever. Like that's his Achilles.
I'm the real puppet master here, not any.
Yeah, no. Like I think they've done a nice job exhibiting that that's like an Achilles heel, and I hope that ultimately what wraps up the storyline is Roman's brought down by his own ego.
I was going to ask you something because we were mentioning about the look that he gave Sammy. I was wondering, did you catch this? And I was wondering if I was out of line or just seeing things or not wondering. During the women's match in the aftermath of that celebration, did you see Alexa kind of throwing shade at the other women?
Oh, I didn't catch that.
I wasn't sure if I...
I just didn't catch it.
I wasn't sure if that was a character or a couldn't hide contempt type of thing. I wasn't sure about that. So listeners, you can let me know if I'm off base about that. If you rewatch and take a look, but it looked like there are times where Alexa was just kind of scowling and then would hide it with a smile. And you're like, okay, what's going on there? But look, this was a story match. This wasn't a work rate match. Nobody's going to give this 5 stars necessarily for the work in it, but the storytelling I thought was exemplary.
Yeah, I agree. I thought, yeah, this is a story match. And I thought the stories were good.
Yeah, and you know, the story match in AEW was good as well. So going into this last month where it's kind of silly season until they decide to reboot and the road to WrestleMania starts with the Royal Rumble, which I assume we're going to have either Rhea and Bianca at the Rumble or, yeah, I would assume that. And then Becky versus, I mean, if they're still going to do the title unification, Becky probably has to win the Rumble or she has to beat Bianca at Elimination Chamber or something. We still have to get Charlotte in this mix, and who knows if Sasha Banks is going to be around. So women's division, very interesting. Men's division, a little bit more straightforward. I think Cody wins that Rumble, challenges Roman, and wins. So we'll see.
Yeah, and that would be a good storyline, that Roman underestimates Cody.
Oh, I loved Kevin Owens' shirt today, too. I need to get me one of those.
I also enjoyed when Kevin Owens referenced Steve Austin by saying, I ain't finished with you, not by a long shot. I was like, that's a good Austinism. I haven't heard that one in some time. That's a good one.
Yeah, I liked that as well. But yeah, we gave high praise to both shows. I think both shows are in good shape going into December. We'll see how they decide to go into the new year, whether or not they rest on their laurels or they continue to try to innovate before the beginning of the year. But thanks to HelloFresh, use code
BOW70.
Yes.
70.
And what do they get with that, Chris?
They get 70% off plus free shipping.
There we go. You can follow me at CrapGame13 on the Twitterverse. I am part of also the Dynamite Show, patreon.com/FightGameMedia for $5 a month. You can get my hot takes on Dynamite. I did not record this week as I was on vacation, but I will be there this Wednesday. That's all the plugs for me. Chris also has some plugs. Here they are.
If you want to follow me on Instagram, you can go to instagram.com/Dr, DOCTOR _ Nove, NOV, Dr. Nove on Instagram. The Twitter account is going to be defunct here very, very soon. So yeah, go and follow me there. And yeah, if you're interested in guitar lessons or whatever, hit me up.
See you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hello there, everybody. It's me, Garrett Kidney, the co-host of You've Got to Be Kidding Me on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
And I am Liam Jones, my full name, and I am also a part of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network as a co-host for You've Got to Be Kidding Me.
We are a TNA history podcast that covers TNA 1 month at a time. We cover all the drama, all the matches, all the Vince Russo nonsense you could ever want in your life.
Have you heard of TNA? I bet you have, but would it be funnier if two people made jokes over it the whole time? Probably.
So if that sounds like fun to you, check it out on this very Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network, and Liam will do bits and whatnot.